Because sometimes we think it's so romantic if the guy says, I need you, I need you. I can't live without you. In fact, if you leave me, I'll kill myself. If he says that, say, well, plan your funeral.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message that we began yesterday, a message entitled, Finding the Love of a Lifetime. If you've been looking for the one with whom you want to spend your life, today's message is for you. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero.
Well, some will say, well, Wayne, you know, if God gives us, I mean, it's a God-given thing, sexual impulses, my testosterone thing, that's God-given, right?
Yeah. Well, if God gave me the sexual impulse, shouldn't it be fulfilled?
Well, let me just share it this way. I remember when I was running track in high school, and they put up a telephone post right around where the track would turn, and they hooked up a pulley to it. And I don't think they do it anymore nowadays, but a pulley with a rope to it and a harness or a vest. And because I was running the sprints, they would put this vest on me, and I'd snap it up, and there'd be a pulley on the back, and they'd kind of reel me into these starting blocks, and the coach would say, on your mark, get set, bang. And another coach, I'd start to pump coming out of those blocks, and cinders from my track shoes would be flying, and I'd be pumping as hard as I can. Another coach would be letting me out just slowly, like 3 miles an hour. And I'd be spinning that track up, and the coach could then coach me, down further, Wayne, down, head down, head down. Now, arms higher, pump higher, get your legs up, faster, faster. And I'd be just going about 3 miles an hour, and he would be working on my form and working on my, what he called my quick twitch muscles, because you need that for the sprint. And I'd go about 25 yards out, and I'd be dog tired, and he'd say, okay, that's enough, and they'd reel me in like a dying ahi, you know, just bring me back in. I'd get back into the blocks again, same thing, bang, over and over again until I got my form right. And my legs are pumping. And I said, Coach, why do we have to do this again and again? He said, because you see, by doing this, by pulling you and holding you in tension, putting a harness on you, you develop your muscles in order to carry you the long way. Because if you're running a 100-meter dash, a lot of times at 80 meters, 90 meters, you start to slow down. You just come to a peak and you peak out at 80 meters. But if I can build your muscles to go the long way at 80 meters, you're still gaining in velocity and you're still cooking. And one day, Wayne, he says, when I take this vest off, you'll come flying out of those blocks and you'll have the muscle structure built to take you all the way to the end. You'll build your respiratory system and your muscles to be able to keep that projected velocity increasing through the tape. And you see, sometimes God puts a vest or a harness on you. And though you want to break out of that, kind of do what your impulses tell you to, God is saying, you don't have the character depth yet to take you the long run. If you just jump out prematurely and kind of let your impulses fly, yes, God gave those to you. But if you just let them go without building perseverance and patience and endurance and the qualities necessary, then that's why at about 5, 6, 8 years of marriage, 10 years, you peak out. And then you wonder, is that all there is? Because we didn't have the muscle structure of character built when you came out of the blocks. That's why it's so dangerous to simply jump in the rack at the first sight of romance, because then you stop character building at that point. But if you say, no, there's a harness on me and I'm not going to fight against God's harness, God's order, then God begins, though you want to, you have self-control. Though you desire this, you develop patience and endurance. All those character qualities so absolutely necessary to take you the long haul in marriage. But when we reject and fight against God's harness, no wonder. So the second is not only spirit, the next is soul. So you develop friendship. And the third, body. Let's read Mark chapter 10 and verse 8 together. Ready? Go. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two will become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Then the Lord says, I'll give you my full blessings so that you'll become one and you can consummate your marriage, and the marriage bed will be undefiled, the Bible says. I give you my blessings on that. And then you'll begin to understand what that this precious gift of sex is all about. But it's within God's embrace and in God's order. Now remember this. There's going to be times the devil will try to convince you that he is the one who's designed sex. But he didn't create it. Who created that? God did. God created sex. And the devil may have perverted it. He may have put a spin on it. He can do all kinds of things to mess it up. And if we buy into his line that he'll say, the closer you get to God, the less you'll enjoy this. The further you get from God, the more you'll enjoy it. And he has wooed and reeled in so many into that deceptive lie and has destroyed, listen, millions of families because of it. Never buy into the lie where the devil will get you to think that he created sex. He didn't. God did. And the closer you get to God and knowing his ways, the more you'll understand the precious gift that he has given to mankind. And do it God's way, you'll see God's blessings. So do it God's way in God's order. Well, you say, okay, Wayne, I got it. Spirit, soul, body. All right, I got it. Now, give me some character qualities just to look for when we're just choosing the love of our life. Let me give you very quickly just these. Qualities to look for, but not only to look for, qualities to develop. You say, well, Wayne, what if I'm already married? Then check yourselves on these and develop these qualities in your life. The first is, number one, would you write in there, a dependence on God. A genuine dependence on God. Which means both the woman and the man have their dependence on the Lord, that their relationship goes straight to God. The reason that's so important is because if you're not careful, sometimes women have a tendency to tie their relationship with God through the husband and up, through the guy and up. And if the guy is doing good, her relationship with God is good. But what if the guy starts messing up? Then a lot of times it messes up the girl's joy. A lot of that's because I've tied my dependence on God through his performance. You need to have one straight to God and his straight with God. That way, if the performance doesn't work real well on one side, you're still hooked to the Lord and not through one another's performance. There's got to be a dependence on the Lord for both persons, the man and the woman. And in doing so, you'll be able to follow him. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So both of you need to have that same dependence. Otherwise, it goes like this. Say the man and the woman, one is a believer and one is a non-believer. And the illustration I give is, say both were contractors. And I said, would you build me a house? Except I want you to start on this end and you start on this end, since it's such a large estate. And now you build this. Now say both are wonderful builders, excellent builders, quality builders. The only problem is they're building from different blueprints. Then they can be the best builders there are. They can be the most excellent quality builders. But if they're building from different blueprints, when you get to the middle, you're going to have to compromise to join the halves. And when that takes place, should there be an earthquake? Where it'll crack will usually be right at that fault line. And so if a non-believer and a believer get married, they can be wonderful people, but you see, you're building from different blueprints. He's going to be, or she's going to be, the non-believer is going to be believing from the blueprint that they've received. And you'll be, as a believer, you'll be building from the blueprint of God's word. Different blueprints. And both can be sincere, loving, wonderful people, but you got different blueprints. And you're going to run into a fault line that's going to have a major crack. So God is saying, make sure that both are dependent on God. And make sure that that girl is dependent on God, not just you. And the guy is dependent on God, not just you. Because sometimes we think it's so romantic if the guy says, I need you. I need you. I can't live without you. In fact, if you leave me, I'll kill myself. If he says that, say, well, plan your funeral. Because you see, although it sounds cool for songs, be real careful. In fact, the Bible says that the dangerous thing is if someone is so dependent on you, you will never be able to fulfill that person's expectations. You will fail him to the point where he'll hate you. It'll turn on you because none of us are God. How many of you believe that? Good, yeah, thank God, huh? Man, none of us are the Messiah. We cannot fulfill all the dreams and hopes of another person utterly dependent on you. You'll fail them miserably. And then that expectation being so broken, they'll feel you betrayed them. That's because you let them depend on you in the first place because it feels good. It's not good at all. They've got to depend on the Lord. The Bible says it this way. Under three things, the earth cannot stand up. Under four, it quakes. And let me give it to you. It gives the four, but let me tell you the fourth. It says, under an unloved woman when she gets a husband. What it means is this. When someone feels so unloved and they just need, they're so needy, you get married, you're going to have major earthquakes because you're going to have to fulfill all her dreams and desires. And listen, there's only one who can do that. And his name is Jesus Christ. Only God can fulfill your dreams. There must be an individual dependence on the Lord. The second thing that you look for is not only a dependence on God, but number two, a growing in character. A growing in character. That's the content on the inside. And some of the best character qualities are found in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Here, listen to these character qualities. Peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the harness of God, self-control. Those are character qualities that you look for. Because you always got to remember this. Love is defined as being committed to God's best in the other person. And if I take advantage of that girl, then that's not God's best. I might lust her, but I don't love her. I might romance her, but I don't love her. If I love her, I want to protect God's best for her life. And as you become a husband, that's going to continue. You've got to be willing to be committed to God's best in your children. That's where discipline will come in. And I hate to discipline my kids, but because I'm committed to God's best in their life, I will step in and speak to them. Is it fun? No, I hate it. But I love them too much to bail out of that responsibility. Same is true with my wife, hers for me. That's what love is all about. But that's only going to come out of character. So before you say, I do, build character, because love isn't finding the right person. It's what? Becoming the right person. Character. The third thing to look for, number three, and this sounds out of time, but number three, honoring parents. Honoring parents. Ephesians says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. And it continues and says, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, when it says to honor your parents, it doesn't mean that you'll be a kid the rest of your life and whatever my parents tell me, I have to just roll over and do. No, but what it means is when I honor my parents, when they give me counsel, I take it to heart and I don't reject it, but instead I listen to it. And that now I'm going to be responsible to make the decision. God holds me accountable. But I'll honor my parents by saying, thank you. I need to listen to that. Let me evaluate that as I mix that into the mix. And if I choose not to go by that counsel, then I need to be able to say, you know, thanks, but I'm going to go this way. And I've taken into consideration what you said. Thank you so much. Please keep giving me counsel. But after I've thought through it, and I've heard the Lord, I think I need to go this way. Thanks, and I'm asking for your blessings. So at least you're honoring them and not just rejecting them. One of the things I noticed quickly about Anna was her love for her dad and her love for her mom. But especially the way a woman treats her dad will have the same tendency in the way that she'll treat her husband. You see, the way she treats the man of the house, she'll have a tendency to treat the man of the house. And the way that a young man treats the woman of the house will have a tendency, he'll do the same with the woman of the house. And so make sure that if we want to become whom God wants us to be, then honor parents. Honor them, respect them, because that is a boot camp for your own. And then number four, let me just share with the woman now. You say, say it's a lady, and she says, you know, I mean, I got a guy that I'm dating or I'm married to. Now, he's not like, you know, a Baywatch guy. What do you look for if if the guy is like, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know what I mean? What do you do? What do you look for? Here it is. Ladies, sisters, would you write this in, respect him? Can you respect him? That's something you'll need to look for. Can I respect the decisions that he makes? Oh, he doesn't have to be some famous movie star, but can I respect the decisions that he makes? That's going to be really important. In fact, the scripture says it this way to the wives, says this, let each love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Because he's going to be giving you counsel. Can you respect his counsel? If he gives you suggestions, and you know they're not the best suggestions, you know it's compromising God's word, you know that it's going to go against God's desire, but he's persuading you that way, man, alarm should go off like nuts in your head. Just know. Because if you can't respect his counsel when you're dating, when you get married, he is called the head of the home, and God expects you to respect his counsel then. If you can't respect his counsel now, you're in trouble. Can you respect his counsel? I remember when we were engaged, Anna wanted to get a certain kind of job, and I think it was because the hours would mess up a lot of things, and she asked about that, and I said, you know, after thinking about it and praying about it, I think you should take this other job. No, she said, I'm going to go this way. No, I said, no, really, I think you should, because, and I explained some things. No, she said, thanks, but I'm going to go this other way. And so I stopped her. I said, you know, if we're going to be married, I'm going to be giving you suggestions and advice and counsel the rest of our life, because that's my job as the head of the home. God holds me responsible for the flow and the direction of our family. And I'm going to do it the best I can. I will not be 100% right. But you know, I'm going to do the best I can. My heart's going to be good. And listen, if my counsel's bad for you now and you can't respect my counsel, now I'm not saying I'm the Messiah, but if you don't see my counsel as good, then dump me now. Because what's going to happen when I try to give you counsel when we're married? We're going to lock horns at every turn. So if my counsel is bad, then dump me, please, now. But if you feel God is going to cause us to be husband and wife, then please, please listen to my counsel and at least go through it until we agree. Because we got to agree. Well, my wife made a wise decision. But same is true with you. If you can't respect that person that you're dating, I tell you, dump them. Because if you get married, you'll be expected by God to receive his counsel. So watch. Can you respect that one? Very important. Then for the man, I would suggest this. Watch for the spirit of the woman, because that's where her beauty lies. Let me read to you 1 Peter 3:4, and it says this. Be beautiful on the inside, in your hearts, with the lasting charm of a gentle and quiet spirit that is so precious to God. The woman's spirit doesn't have to be someone that's just, you know, just angelic and floating all the time and meek and gentle. This person could be a businesswoman, could be whatever it might be. But that spirit is gentle and quiet. What it means is this woman is able to hear from God and be reasonable, to be able to listen and to be willing to solve problems. That gentle and quiet spirit that's quiet before God so that God can give her instructions and then she can respond. It's a depth of character on the inside. There's a beauty there. Even sometimes when I am so far off base, my wife's spirit is calm. And she says, I'm here to support you. And we do something and it's just absolutely wrong. And my wife prays for me and we counsel together and we make the correction. My respect for her goes through the roof because she could have nagged me to death or she could pray for me. And her spirit is so precious. So her beauty increases daily because it comes from the inside. So some people say, well, Wayne, well, that's nice, you know, but if the beauty is on the inside, what about the outside? Does that make any difference, you know? I mean, I think it does. And yeah, it does. But, you know, you can't just look at the jar on the outside if the content's not there. So look at the content as well. Now, when I met Anna, she wore zip makeup. I mean, I thought she was a Quaker woman, you know? But there was a beauty on the inside. And she's learned since then, you know, and she does make, some people say, well, what about makeup, Wayne? Is it okay? Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to get myself in trouble if I keep going on this. But, you know, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. In fact, I asked that to an old guy once, and I thought he gave me a pretty good answer. I said, what do you think about makeup? Because Anna doesn't wear makeup, and I think she should, you know? And he said, well, you know, I said, no problem. I said, what about girls wearing makeup? He said, ah, he said, son, he said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. We got to move on because we don't have time, you know? And the last is communication. Communication. Got to be able to talk with one another so that you reveal your hearts to one another. And that's going to be so important. Because if you can't reveal your heart and it's well respected by the other, if your heart cannot be revealed, you're going to be in trouble. Look for someone that you can communicate with and talk, because that's what you make friends with, by talking, communicating. Now, communicating doesn't mean someone's talkative. Doesn't mean someone that can persuade you and get his point across or work himself out of a situation. No, communication means that you're both able to share your heart and it's respected to the point where you protect one another's heart and try to embrace that in such a way that your dreams come to pass and you can support one another. Communication is called communion with words. Communion with words. So that's what you're looking for, that oneness of spirit. As I close, someone said to me, Wayne, what if I'm, you know, this is all good and I'm going to try and become all of these things. But what if I'm already in a marriage and my husband or my wife, at that time was a husband, is a non-Christian? What do I do? Because I know that God's not asking me to bail out. You know, if you're married to someone that's a non-Christian, but your love is there for that person, you know, it may very well be that the Lord has allowed it for this reason. Not that's our goal, but because some people are non-Christians and one gets saved and the other refuses. Now they're stuck in this unequally yoked kind of thing. But God knew that from the beginning. What do we do? My suggestion is this, that God knew that, and that spouse that you have that's a non-Christian, let that person become your life mission to bring that one to the Lord. Because God may have known from the beginning of time that that's going to be a tough cookie. That guy or that woman. Tough cookie to come to the cross. But God knew of all the people that could do it, he believed in you. And so he allowed this in such a way that if your whole life mission is to bring that one to Christ, then I know you may not be a businesswoman or a famous author or lawyer or movie star, whatever it might be, but I tell you what, when you get before God, he's going to look at you. And if you've done just that one thing and brought him to Christ, God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That was your assignment on the earth. Thank you for not comparing yourself with others, but you did what I asked you to do. You did it with all your heart. Wonderful, wonderful. And so God has given to each of us our roles, but in our roles, let's take the character qualities necessary to become all Jesus wants us to be and become the right person. Amen.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own.
Today we've heard the conclusion of a message entitled Finding the Love of Your Life by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. And until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dale Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own. Come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify. glorify your name. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.